Yo, welcome to Beast Podcast. And if you don't know, Beast stands for bringing empowerment and skills together. And that's exactly what we strive to do on this show. We talk life skills, we talk financial literacy, we talk personal development. All these things are going to help you be a better you. So stay tuned and enjoy the show. So real quick, I'll give you an overview of the podcast. It's called Beast, bringing empowerment and skills together. So I just like to have like genuine conversations with genuine people, just real life people. So for the podcast listeners out there, just introduce yourself and three things you're grateful for.
Well, my name is Naomi St. Louis, and three things I'm grateful for: my family, God, and my friends. Super grateful for my friends, my people. They've been patient with me for a long time. They've been patient with me.
So, well, previously, before starting the podcast, we were talking about dating and relationships. But did you want to continue on with that conversation?
No,
did you want to veer?
We're talking about debt really quick, too, and I think that's actually very important to talk about.
Okay.
Because I was having a conversation with my family earlier. And I was just like, well, you know, I'm interested in dating. Like, I was like, I'm interested. But then I was like, maybe I watched the movie and it got into my head for a second, and now I'm over it. So
it was just a feeling real quick. It was a quick tangle, and then I was like,
you watch a movie sometimes, so it makes you think that, like, you really want something. That's why I think it's so important that you stay attention to what you want to do. Because I literally was like, well, I watched something. And I can pinpoint when the feeling and the emotion came to me wanting to date. Like, literally at that point.
That's interesting.
So that's why at one point I was just like, no, I don't think I really want to date. I just think I end up getting distracted a little bit. But eventually down the line I will. But I was talking to my family and I was telling them that it's so important for, I was like, if anything, for a quality of a man, I want him to be financially healthy. I said I want him to
I like that. So go ahead and define financially healthy in your terms.
Aware of his finances, striving for his goals financially, not just like remaining dormant, I guess. Striving to be better, because I thought that was important for me because I think about my children and I'm like, I don't want my children to have to suffer the way that I did. And I'm not saying I suffered. I still lived a privileged life compared to other people. But there was decisions I made when it came to loan, credit, all of that, I was very unaware of. And at this age, I'm trying to dig myself out of it. And I don't want to take care of, I don't want to have to feel like I have to take care of my man. That comes from my own experiences of feeling that I've dated men or a man or multiple people that they weren't financially well, and I found myself like feeling like I had to take care of them. And that's my own fault. I was a little insecure, so I thought I had to give. And then I messed myself up financially trying to save him financially. So one thing I expect is if I have to learn how to be financially healthy, I expect my man to be financially healthy. A big question that one of my sister-in-law said to me, she was like, oh really? Well, would you, like, what if he doesn't have a good job or anything like that? And I was just like, it's not really about having a good job, it's really about having goals. It's like, if you're walking in your purpose and that purpose ends up not paying you as well, that's one thing. But if you're choosing to stay at a job that you know that's really what you want to do.
And you're not happy.
And you're not happy and you get paid like in such a low rate. I think, why are you not striving to find different ways to make income? And a job is not the only way to make income is what I'm learning. So that's just an expectation for me when it comes to marriage. I can date somebody that may not be financially well, but I don't know how long they'll last.
I bet. So expectations in, I guess that's the topic, right? Expectations in a relationship. And this could be interesting. I'm definitely going to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
And I'm going to let my girlfriend definitely listen to this, because these are conversations that we've had.
Okay.
So you said you want a man who's
financially healthy.
Yes.
Let's just say you find a man, he's not as financially healthy as you would like him to be, but he has goals and he's striving. Everything's cool, everything, whatever, whatever. He's walking in his passion. But the situation arises where his passion is not bringing him enough bread, so you have to be the main breadwinner, which means that now the roles have changed, right? Because now you're going out and putting on for the family. He's, air quotes, staying home. So those gender roles, you know what I mean, kind of change. Is that, do you think that's, how can I phrase this as a question? Do you feel like if a man has that type of expectation, do you think that that's a deal breaker for you? Like, would that be a deal breaker? Like, somebody who's, like, willing to, like, support you and what you want to do if it means putting their things on, like, the back burner?
No, I think that's partnership.
Okay.
And that's if he's secure enough. My hope is that whoever I'm with, as long as he's secure enough to know that if I'm making more money, I see that, especially when it comes to marriage, I don't see it as my money, his money. I see it as coming together and we're both making money. And if that's his passion, it is what it is. I know myself, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm always running projects. So I don't see it as a problem that my man would put his stuff to the side to make sure that my business is growing. And hopefully I might have to do the same because that is what he's trying to do.
Right.
But I don't see that because I grew up in a household where my mother was the main drink, but not my father. But my father worked hard, but it was, my mother was just the one that brought in more income because she not only had her job, but she also had side businesses. So she brought in the most money and she was the one that handled the money actually in the house.
Mm.
So that actually was hard for me when I was dating a man that was financially well off at one point because I would never ask him if I really needed something from him because I never saw my mother ask my father for things.
Mm.
So that was hard for me to like, and I remember at one point he was like, I think I had asked him for like to borrow something, like a car or something, one of his cars, and he's like, wow man, you asked me for something.
Mm.
And I was just like, what are you talking about? But now I kind of understand where he was coming from because I didn't know, like I wasn't used to having to ask a man for something. I didn't grow up needing to depend or need on a man. I need a man. You know what I mean? I always was the one that had more or took, even like prior to that relationship, I was the one that took care of the man. So it actually would be a learning thing for me to be able to balance that type of relationship of like if my man was making a lot of money and I have to be the one that wasn't making as much, that would be actually a learning thing for me because I just didn't grow up like that.
So what about in the event, because we're talking expectations, where do you think, well, we just heard where your expectations came from. It came from what you kind of saw growing up, which is where most people's expectations come from. However, with the way that we're kind of being raised on the internet, we're not really being raised by adults these days, at least kids aren't. It's by the internet. It's about what's trending, what's going on. What do you perceive as like society's expectation of what a relationship should look like? Because
I mean, I surround myself with goodness, but
well, I guess maybe not with society's expectations, but how society's expectations affect the dating process. Because we kind of talked about it pre-podcast, right? Like how because these days we can just pull up a dating app and swipe, 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 left, right, left swipe, right swipe, left, you know, people are seen as more dispensable, which means that I forgot the word that I used, but relationships aren't valued as much. They're devalued, I think was the phrase that I used. But I guess how would that, I guess, impact the whole, like, courting process?
Social media, that the world view of relationship has painted it as only romantic. So where it's like everybody's like coveting and wanting these picture perfect moments all the time and they're yearning for it before their time, right? Because they're thinking that this is the essence of love. Right, it's to have that companion, to have that person to just be there. But I'm like, you don't know what's happening behind closed doors. So don't yearn for a picture perfect moment. Society has really done that, because I remember watching like a celebrity, and I don't really watch celebrities like that, but I remember specifically seeing this celebrity couple, beautiful pictures posted all over social media. And I was like, wow, this is really beautiful. Less than a year later, these people were divorced. And I said, wait a second. But if you look at the pictures, these pictures would have made you want the marriage, want that picture perfect moment. But because of like the overexposure of social media, and again, social media likes to show the best moments, the good moments, right? They don't always love to show the real nitty gritty of situations, which it messes up the brains of people a lot. Mm-hmm. And it kind of skews reality, right? Messes up reality. It messes up the perspective of what true relationship is, like really the mountain climb of what it means to be in a relationship. And I think I was telling you how a relationship is ministry, right? So ministry is also a mountain climb. Like there's anything you want in life is a fight. So a lot of people don't realize, like, if you really want something, if two people really care for each other, you really have to be in it to, like, I'm in it to win it no matter what. And I think on, like, when you go online, I feel like it doesn't really paint that image to people. So people think they're ready for the holding hands and, you know, to be with somebody, but they're not.
I think it's even the dark side of it all is that people live for these moments. So once they have those moments happen to them, they just like, this is it. But they don't realize that, like, when it comes to a relationship, it's not every single day that you have that moment, that like picture perfect moment. Like, again, like there's a nitty gritty behind it. But again, like you said, social media and society kind of paints this picture of what a relationship is supposed to look like. So when you have one of those picture perfect moments and you feel all the feelings that you've seen people, like seen on people's faces, seen in movies and things like that, you're like, oh, okay, this is the real deal. Not really understanding, like, I'll put it like this. It's kind of like you're looking for a house, but you don't really know how a house is built or a house is made. And you see this beautiful big mansion. You don't know that it's made out of straw. You haven't done the research to know what it should look like. But then there's this other house. It's older, but it's made out of brick, solid foundation. Most people are going into relationships looking at those like moments, those picture perfect moments, which is like that straw house. It looks good, but it's not really stable. Right. If your relationship is thriving off of those moments, it's not really going to be strong. Whereas like this brick house, like, it's done been through a lot. It's done been through World War I. It's done been through World War II. It's been around for 150 years because it's built on solid foundation. Like, people don't really want, people don't glamorize those relationships. People glamorize the momentous, I'll call it the momentous relationships, because the relationships where people are together 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I don't know about you, but I don't see many of those, especially black couples. There's this YouTube series that I've been watching now called Black Love, and they literally just have like these like type of conversations with other black couples. So it can be homosexual couple, it doesn't matter, like older, newly married, been married for 20, 30 years, but I like watching that because it gives you a real depiction and a real conversation about like around like what relationships and marriage look like. Because for me, at least, there was no example of what it looks like outside of, like, again, TV and media. So, and that's why, like, you were asking, like, mess around with me, like, your fiance. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that has me, like, afraid to make that jump, is just because, like, I've never seen it done before. So, like, how do I know if I'm doing it right? Whereas, like, I mean, there's pros and cons with each, but I'd rather be, that's kind of my personality, the cautious type. Whereas, like, some people are like, oh, this feels great, so I'm just going to do it. But not every time like something feels good doesn't mean like it's actually what you should be doing, because feelings are fleeting. So once that feeling leaves you, then what?
Yeah, that's good.
But
I mean, what about just the fact of having, I mean, for me, as I'm single, I consider myself preparing for marriage.
Mm.
So some people think, I don't believe you're preparing for marriage when you're in relationship, you're preparing for marriage prior to relationship. So for me, I surround myself with married people. I have conversations with married people. I'm also checking myself in a level of wholeness, like I said, financially, physically. What am I doing to make sure that I'm good, right? So I'm the best person for my significant other. Because I'm going to have the expectation for him. I'm not telling him to be best all the time, but he's going to have to at least, are you taking care of yourself mentally? Are you, have you done counseling? Have you done therapy? Have you dismantled that trauma? Because I'm not going to come in here and going to be your punching bag. You know what I mean? Because I've been in a lot of relationships where I've been that punching bag, or he's been my punching bag because I was not well, right? So after my most recent relationship, that right there changed my life. Because in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I'm good. You know, I broke off my old relationship, blah, 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 so I'm jumping into this new one. Mm. And I was like, dang, I got so much weed. Because once you're with somebody, it begins to expose all these things. And I think sometimes it exposes you. And it I'm like, whoa, so I'm exposed. I didn't realize. I thought I was ready for marriage. I had no plan for my money. I had no plan for I didn't have nothing. My mental health wasn't right. I didn't even know how to say I love you, my brothers, and I wanted to say I love you to a man. But at the beginning, everything's like, oh, you know, it's easy to, like, you know, you're in the honeymoon stage, da-da-da. So I'm like, yeah, but 5 years down the line, 2 years down the line, whatever many years down the line, something's going to show up. Because if for me, one thing that I'm doing to prepare for marriage is learning how to love my family that I have just as they are. Because I used to think I had to like really escape. Like I'm like, let me just run to my man's house. Let me just run to them. Let me just run to them. But eventually, all hell breaks loose. Cause then you know something else ends up being you. That they end up being your hiding place, but they can't solve what's going on internally. So after that last relationship, I was like, yo, I'm pretty real. Like I gotta learn how to say I love you to my brothers. I gotta heal my relationship with my mother. I gotta heal my relationship with my friends because you know what I mean? That's your people. You know, I was like, you can go ahead and try to run to a man or, in a man's case, to a woman or whatever partner you decide to run to, but they're only temporary escapes. Something eventually is gonna come to light. What happens in the dark must come to light, and everybody might think of that as like promiscuous stuff, but no. Things of unforgiveness that's stuck in your heart, it's gonna come to light. And that's exactly what happened. And I was like, oh, I have a lot of things to work on. So by doing that, I have people that are my accountability coaches for my life, the people I surround myself with in marriage. I'm very intentional about having healthy communication with my friends. I've decided to start working on my connection with my friends, how I speak to people, because I'm like, this is where the foundation starts. This is not right when you get into a relationship. It starts before that. Because if you wait into a relationship to prepare for marriage, or when he proposed, put the ring on your finger to prepare for marriage, you are already way behind. There's so much work, so much healing, so much restoration that needs to be put in place, because we all deal with trauma. And unless you can say your household has raised you up in a way that, you know, properly nurtured you, then I have nothing to say. But if you can't say that you've been in a place where you feel like you've been properly nurtured, if you've been fed and taught and put in a place of learning, I think that we all need to just take a step back in our singleness and really learn. And when I say singleness, I also believe people in relationships are in a singleness season.
No, most definitely. Because you're still learning about yourself.
Yeah,
you're still. I was joking with my girlfriend. Hopefully she doesn't mind me saying this on the podcast, but I was joking with her today. She was like, are you in a relationship or are you single? I was like, well, when I file my taxes, they don't ask me if I'm in a, I was obviously joking. She didn't find it as comical at the time. But again, like I'm using that to say, like, even though we're in a relationship, if I don't continue to work on myself, the relationship is not going to work. And we've had situations happen where something wasn't happening or something wasn't working out or it wasn't going as smooth as it needed to be. And it was because, like, again, I had things that I didn't come to terms with, that I didn't deal with. And again, I was projecting it onto her and vice versa, because again, we all have trauma. And again, that's the dirty work that we don't hear about or see in relationships. Like, You just think like, oh, like we're just gonna go traveling, we're just gonna go on trips, like we're just gonna get a house and like be good. Like, no, like it's work. But again, I love what you said, like marriage is ministry. Like it really is like a
it really is like a
cultivate, like, you know what I mean, like work daily. But we won't stay on this too much longer. 7:45. So any last thoughts? So if you could go back in time, let's just say to your 18, 19-year-old self, as it goes for relationships, what is something that you would tell yourself before, I guess, getting into, like, the dating scene or to kind of help you, you know, work your way into it?
Love yourself, Naomi.
Mm.
Love yourself. Learn how to accept yourself. Flaws and all. Appreciate your growing season. You don't need no man to tell you I love you. Just so that God loves you. Right? And if God loves you, that means you love you.
Mm.
That's what I could tell myself. Love yourself.
Amen. So somebody wanted to reach out to you and get in touch with you. How do they do that?
Pursuit of Joy.
What is that? A website? That's your IG?
I have an IG.
What's the IG?
Pursuit of Joy.
Okay. Alright.
Oh, I didn't know. And talking. You tried it.
What you mean?
I thought you were just asking me the question.
No, I'm legit.
I didn't know you were doing that.
Oh. Yeah. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you?
You can follow me on Instagram, PursuitofJoy_, or YouTube, PursuitofJoy.
And we talking about relationships. So, fellas, she is single. So go ahead and Shoot y'all shot. I just gave y'all the assist. I just gave y'all the oop off the backboard.
Yo, thank you for listening to the Beast Podcast. We hope that you learned something and are empowered and inspired to be a better version of yourself. Please go ahead and subscribe, like, share it with a friend, a family member, or anybody who can get some value from it. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast. All right, y'all. Be great.